Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Well, it's really no surprise that I decided to make it back. As is, it is no surprise, Ben, that I think you probably know this about me, but just in case the listeners didn't know, that my favorite Little Debbie snack cake is oatmeal cream pie. I know. I can see your disappointment. I bring it up because I notice you're enjoying a Little Deborah cake yourself over there.
I am indeed. I am indeed. So we grew up and Little Deborah cake. That's pretty good. In case anybody's unaware, Little Debbie cakes are like, it's a brand. And people like, everybody who knows is like, yeah, obviously. Yeah,
are you explaining Little Debbie cakes?
You know what? It's like Vegemite could be something that everybody knows what it is. And then if you don't know, then it's like, well, this needs explaining pronto stat because I'm still not sure I get
it. Yeah, it's like a brand of like mass-produced baked goods.
Yeah, yeah, precisely. And there's a whole variety pack of them. And growing up, Little Debbie cakes, I feel like, were a staple inside of our household. But very specifically, I feel like we had the Nutty Bars and the Swiss cake rolls and Cosmic Brownies are the ones that I would say feel like they were the most frequent flyers.
I think we had those. We had like the Hostess chocolate cupcakes that had like the little white swirly do on top.
Yes, you know,
we had those a lot. I liked those.
Okay, you say we had those a lot. In my recollection, I feel like there was like one occasion where mom went to like a Sam's Club, like a big box store type thing, and bought like a 144 pack, and then we just had them for 144 Hostess cake
maybe
rolls.
I don't know. Maybe you just didn't like them as much as me, or maybe I would just eat them all if you never had any.
You know what? That doesn't sound totally unlikely.
What cupcakes?
I know. But no, it goes back to one of these philosophies. We talk about our friend John from the GMA a lot, and I think we've even brought up this exact thing that his family. I don't even know if they intentionally did or if it was just a byproduct of like how they lived or something. But one way or another, like John is probably like the fittest person we know, just like in terms of like endurance related activities.
Just like, he just sort of got it. Like that. You know?
Yeah. But then on the flip side of things, whenever you would go over to his house as kids, there would always just be like bowls of candy, just sort of like available. Just
sort of like everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. And it was like, you kind of would like walk in and you're like, what is that? Is that like some Reese cups? Like right there in the middle of the room?
Yeah, you want
like,
some?
It's like, it's not even Halloween or anything like that. And it's like, yeah, they're always there. It's like, well, that's kind of neat. But the thing was, is that like the family just seemed like they got like so acclimated to having these candy that it stopped being a treat. And so it was just sort of like, yeah, it's kind of like always there.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, we have candy.
Yeah.
Of course we have candy.
So I think that was sort of like my relationship with the Little Debbie cakes for the most part growing up. Like they were like the staple of our packed lunches for whatever years we packed lunch, which this even as I'm like telling this story, I'm like, I bought lunch tons of times.
Yeah.
Like, but then I also know that I had a whole bunch of packed lunches in there as well. So like, I'm not really sure what years I was deciding to like pack lunch versus buy lunch.
I can tell you that as a parent who like Luke, I'm in the first year where Luke is at kindergarten where you can either pack or buy.
Yeah.
Right. And for like most of the year, Luke has been like a pack person.
Okay.
And just this week, on 3 days in a row, he's like, I want to buy. I guess like some of his friends have been getting the pizza and he sees the pizza and he's like, I want it. And so like 3 days in a row this week, he's been like, I want to buy. And it's been fantastic because on Sunday, I just had like some free time at the house, and I was like, boy, guess who's going to be productive? Me. And like, I was like, I'm going to pack Luke's lunch for tomorrow tonight. I'm going to pack my gym bag for tomorrow. I'm going to pick out my clothes for tomorrow. I was like, I was ready to go. I was like, I'm going to wake up on Monday morning and everything is going to be good to go. I even like pre-prepped all the smoothie ingredients, Ben.
Wow. You know,
like a little pre-portioned bag. Monday morning, I was so efficient. It was fantastic. And then Luke came downstairs and was like, I'm buying lunch. And I was like, well, hot dog, guess what? I don't have to do this. That means not only do I not have to do it today because I did it last night, now I don't have to do it tomorrow either because it's still packed. And that remained true through Wednesday.
And then he eventually took the packed
lunch.
So
now he took the packed lunch. So now I'm back to, we got to make lunch in the morning. But like the amount, like not like packing Luke's lunch in the morning is this... It's like, it's not hard to do. All I have to do, we make him like little ham sandwiches with like the King's Hawaiian rolls.
Oh yeah. That sounds amazing.
Pretty good. And it's like, it's not hard. It's not hard to pack his lunch. It doesn't take that much time. It's just that like, I also have to make breakfast for the twins and get my, you know, breakfast for myself and pack a bag and make the coffee. And there's like, and get Luke dressed and get him to the car. And there's like a time limit. So it's like a lot's happening. And it's like, if the lunch isn't on the table, it is like the whole morning is just so much less stressful, which then means like I go into the day less stressed about everything. Like the whole day is better if Luke buys lunch, is what I've learned in this week. And it's been like, dude, you got to buy lunch more.
this arrangement we got going on right now, working for dad,
yeah. Big time.
That's so funny. No, that's the thing too, as a parent, is that it's like most of the tasks you're doing individually are not very difficult. There's just a lot of them.
Yes.
And I know what you mean. Like, this is like one of those like where even like going through like the bedtime sequencing and everything, it's always sort of like, it's like, okay, got to do this, got to prep that, got to get this ready, like do that, like whatever, you know, and then it's like, brushing the teeth is like the one that like Addie always puts up like a big struggle on.
Oh.
And she's like, you know, in opposition to doing it, but we are determined to like to make this like a thing.
Yeah.
And so like that's the one where it's always like again, there's nothing that difficult about it, but it almost always means I need to like leave the room temporarily to go get like her toothbrush and like put the, you know, the kid's toothpaste on it and come back. And in that time, sometimes she'll be like, you know, running around her sack, and then like, which is like, you know, like a giant pillowcase that kids wear, in case you're not familiar with those.
It's like a zip-up blanket.
But occasionally, like, you know, she's a little clumsy when she's wearing it. So then it's like, well, what if she ends up falling? And then if she falls, then it's like this whole other thing. And then you're like, okay, calm down from the fall. Also, now we got to do the thing you really don't like doing.
Oh, man. And, yeah. I'm surprised you don't like, I'm trying to, this is like so different than my order of operations where it would be
this
like,
this makes sense too. Yeah. I can totally see that.
You go to the bathroom and then bring the toothbrush to the other room. Why don't you bring her to the bathroom?
Usually it's because, okay, so what we normally do, we're going to get back to little Debbie cakes eventually.
Yeah.
Little Deborah cakes. I like that better. But yeah, so normally our whole thing right now is like, you know, she'll do bath time or whatever. And then usually the big thing right now is that she doesn't want to get in the bath, but then once she's in the bath, she doesn't want to get out of the bath.
Yeah.
And
do it in the bath.
We have done it in the bath before. Yeah. That actually is the pro tip. And sometimes it's just like depends on how bath time's going as to whether or not that happens. But that's a good point. Right. I've done that. But then a lot of times what's happening is you're like, you're taking her out of the bath. I wrap her in a towel and then I'll like go in and do like the diaper change or put a diaper on her, pajamas, put her sack on or whatever. And then it's usually like, okay, time to brush teeth before we like read books. And so that's why it's landing there. But I could also see where it would make sense to just not leave the bathroom entirely. But then if she's like wrapped in a towel and she's all wet and everything, it's just kind of hard to do. So bathtub, I'm just going to do it in the bathtub.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's usually where we do it. Otherwise, we should get them at the sink, but they can like stand up and, you know, be a little bit better about it.
Ever brush your teeth in the shower?
Me?
Yeah, you. Yes, yeah, you. Wow,
no,
right there. The other person I'm talking to.
I want to say there was a period where I was trying it. Like,
it's so funny because it's like they're all like bathroom related rituals, but to me there's something so odd about the toothbrush being like sitting on like
it's
the edge
not
of,
even
like,
having the toothbrush in there, it's having the toothpaste in there that seems weird to me.
It just doesn't belong.
It doesn't seem like it fits there, even though like you have a place to like spit and stuff, so
the floor,
yeah, you know, you just fill your, you can just rinse with the shower water, you know.
You can spit wherever you want,
spit wherever you want in there, man. It isn't, I'm not totally opposed to it. This is also like the day I realized like I could just bring like my face wash into the shower, like instead of doing it at the sink and making a giant mess.
Oh my gosh. You know? That one seems, there was never a point in time, surely, where you were washing your face in the sink and then getting in the shower.
I think there were definitely times, I think like in high school and stuff, where like I would like take a shower, go get dressed, go back, wash my face.
What?
I know. Seems silly now.
That seems silly always.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This is from someone who's listened to your own operations, Ben.
No, I know. That's totally fair. It's just, no, I just, that is just a funny one.
No, you know what? Have you tried telling her that her teeth will turn yellow?
No.
Oh, well.
Just put the fear of...
Not the fear, the truth.
Well, I mean, the truth and the fear can be simultaneous.
Yes, but still.
But still.
But no. Still, let me tell you what, that like, not that Luke was ever bad at it, but he, like, you know, if he, like, at one point, is like, there was a point where he was like a little more resistant to it, and he's like, look, you need to do this, because otherwise, like, your teeth will get like yellow and like it'll be gross. And he was just like, what? And like, he's been pretty good about it since.
See, this is where I feel like my primary anxiety dream, like the one that happens to me the most often, is some version of like my teeth all falling out. Uh-huh. So like in the movie Inside Out, there's like a moment where like I think like Fear is like watching the dreamscape or whatever, and he's like, and teeth are gonna probably be next. Here it is, right on cue. You know, and I'm like, yes, right on cue. Like that's the one. And this is like one of those where, and I wish I could think of more examples on the fly, but I know there have been so many in life where somebody told me something bad might happen if I don't do this thing. And the level to which I took it like so absurdly seriously was almost just like I think that there's like just residual fear from like childhoodness of not brushing my teeth and my teeth like rotting or something like that. And
but
so now it's like
is the worst consequence that like Addie has really good oral hygiene?
No, I mean that's a great consequence. It just lives with you. That's all.
But like, but it's something you need to know. Like it is true.
That's true, but it's
you like, can't not brush your teeth.
No, I'm following. I'm just also been. I feel like I've been impacted by the fear. Like it's like I didn't outgrow. I mean, because you're right. It's not that it's not like something bad won't happen. It's just sort of like it's like I don't know. I feel like it's like a good way to like get them like, oh wow, I don't want that to happen. But then as an adult, I feel like I've not stopped taking it like too seriously.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
I mean, I'm not trying to say like it's, I don't know. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like at some point, I'm sure she's going to ask you, why do we have to brush our teeth? You know, and it's like you wouldn't like withhold the truth just out of fear that it might make her nervous about not doing it.
It feels like a lead,
you would.
It feels like a leading question. I don't think that I would use a fear tactic as a method of getting her to be motivated to do it. I think
she's not going to know the consequences of not brushing her teeth. This is what's going to happen. Like, she's going to meet someone with yellow teeth and be like, I don't understand. How does this even happen to people? Be like, you don't brush your teeth. That's what they just haven't brushed their teeth. And they'd be like, what? What? Excuse me?
Anyway, so back to speaking of good oral hygiene, I'm so thrown off.
You're like contemplating like, what do I need to tell Addison about life?
It's like, this is like one of those things where I feel like I don't even know. I'm like lost inside of my own conversation and my own motivations. And I'm like, never mind. It's fine. Now I'm like worried that I'm like attacking your parenting style at the same rate.
Or no,
it's
you're like, not at all. I'm mostly just messing with you. Because it's like, I can tell you're like...
I'm frazzled.
Like, I can tell you're like going in circles in your brain like, wait. You're like, those are some good points. But I feel like my points are good too. But... wait.
But it's like, I want her to brush her teeth. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. So I'm just going to encourage fun and happiness and good times attached to the teeth brushing process. And maybe she'll just think it's fun for her whole life and be like, why would you not do it? It's the best time ever.
It's the best time ever.
Dad dances it's the whole joy. Time I brush my teeth. Like, why would I not do it?
Do you?
No, I don't. But I could start. I'm trying to think of a new plan as a way to like reinforce positivity instead of the fear of having these night terrors essentially attached to teeth.
Do
loss.
You think you're like? But I've never thought that when people say their teeth are like when people have anxiety dreams about their teeth falling out, I've never thought that was the manifestation of people having an anxiety during the day that something would happen to their teeth.
No, I think it is.
Oh.
For me, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just assumed, like, okay, that is news to me. Like, I've always thought this is just a common anxiety dream. Like, anxiety makes you dream about this, whether or not you're concerned about it happening in real life.
No, I think that, like sometimes I think, like, the other anxiety dream I have very often is this one where it's, like, I'm in college and it's, like, the end of the semester, and for whatever reason I didn't go to like my English or math or science class or whatever for the entire semester, and I'm going in and like if I don't pass it will like prevent me from graduating, and all of a sudden it's like there's no way for me to know all the information I'm going to need to know on the test, and I'm going to fail, and that means I won't graduate. And usually that one, it's like throughout the day I'm not like worried that someone's going to like roll up at my house and be like, by the way, you didn't actually complete college, give me back your diploma.
Right.
like I'm not concerned that one is going to happen necessarily, not even necessarily. I'm not afraid that that's going to happen at all. That one is usually hitched though to something very similar, which would be some kind of like feeling like I'm not doing enough to complete a specific task.
Sure.
Or something like that, which, okay. You know, here at like Super Carlin Brothers, like where we've just constantly got like a never ending lineup of the next piece of content to be filmed.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. And because there are certainly days where it's like, okay, we gotta get stuff done, and a lot of it in today.
Yes, there are those days.
So those are probably where those come from, is like, okay, we just gotta get stuff done. That's
stuff
all.
Done, man.
Yeah. I haven't been going to class is what it feels like.
Yeah.
But no, with the teeth one, I think it's a genuine fear of something happening to my teeth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That one is definitely like...
Well, I want to know if everyone's afraid of stuff happening to their teeth, or if it's just sort of like a common anxiety dream and you personally have that regular common anxiety dream and are afraid of something happening to your teeth.
Could be. I'm also not very... I mean, it's a good point because, like, I'm also not very good, like, with anything. Like I don't like people, like, touching, like, their eyes or something. Like,
sure,
like,
yeah.
Like, watching people, yes. Like, put their contact lenses in can be, like, a little bit like, whoo, man, okay. Like, I'm always, like... That's, like, the main thing for me. I'm, like, grateful for my vision not being poor to where I would need contacts.
Yeah.
Because that's like, I feel like I would really, really struggle with, and but maybe it would just be exposure therapy and you get so good at it so quickly that it's like, okay, not a big deal anymore.
Right.
But I also don't have dreams about eyes. Maybe it's a bad example. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Oh, okay.
What I'm really trying to say is I like zebra cakes.
Oh yeah. Right. Little Debbie cakes. We used to sometimes have them. Jennings had bowls of candy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And what's your favorite thing about Debbie cakes as an adult? I think it was the question we were trying to answer.
That is the big question. So I think the big thing is like, I even remember Dad would like come home sometimes like during like his dinner hour, and he would like be like really excited to have like a little Debbie cake. And I'm like, Dad, that's like lunch dessert. You know, it's like,
right.
That's like, we have that like every day in our lunch bags or whatever. It's like, mm-hmm. I was like, it surprises me that you're like looking forward to the part of the day where you go and have like a Swiss cake roll or something
right.
like that. I'm like, it just doesn't feel like a really good dessert.
Yeah.
But I think now what is happening is as an adult and the infrequency, because we always had these like specific ones at our house growing up.
Yeah.
I think those probably still would feel less like treats than like the ones we didn't have growing up, which is why I think I like zebra cakes. But literally now I will like sometimes like have a box at my house and I will be like so excited to like put Addie to bed. And I'm like, I'll like look at Alice and I'm like, do you want to have a zebra cake?
Nice.
It's like, oh man,
oh, well, here we go.
We are cutting loose.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So that's living.
<Yeah. laughs> Zebra cakes.
I know, that's the other thing too. Here at the office, we have like a, what I would like to say is a robust selection of snacks.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. We do. I have, I've recently introduced bananas into our snack rotation here at the office.
Wow, look at you go. What a health nut.
I know. And now it's like, specifically because I would get to like 3 or 4 every day and be like, it's time for a little Debbie cake. And it was like one of those like,
o'clock.
And it's just like, this is not helping me. Like, I don't need to eat this right now, but like, I'm so hungry. And, or else I'll just start like going, I'll like grab a bag of like something bad that like, I was like, you know what? How can I like, just like replace this, like hunger with something a little bit better that will like fill me up and just sort of like get me through that moment. And
yes.
Bananas is my answer. and it has been working great so far.
That's amazing. That's amazing. No, I think that does track in my mind as well, because I did the same thing, like where I used to drink just so much soda all the time, and then when I was able to just sort of like sub in, I think what I really wanted was, like, I mean, I'd like to have like just like, you know, something to sip on at all times, but like I think carbonated water just ended up being like, It like filled the void for me.
Right. It's like it feels like soda.
Yes, exactly.
But like it's water.
but it's water. Yeah. We actually just got, that was the other thing we got for the office, is because it's a third floor walk up. We were constantly having to like lug like just cases of LaCroix up to office space. And so we just recently purchased one of these like soda stream things.
Yes.
And I feel like it has been, this is like my standing desk, like where sometimes I feel like there are ideas that I'll have where I'm like, if I could just engage in this new activity, it'll improve my life so much and it's going to be so much better and I'm going to be living like a healthier lifestyle and blah, blah, blah. And the standing desk was one of those where it was kind of like, I think what I was really seeing was like people on like Instagram or whatever who were like, how to live a more efficient life, do a standing desk. And it was sort of like, okay, I'm gonna be that efficient person. So I bought like we literally just had like a regular desk at the time that we put like a lifter thing on, and it started doing that standing desk life. And I just like, that was like one where I've brought it up before, but it's mostly just because I'm proud of myself, because it was like, I was like, I'm going to make this change about my life. And then I did. And then I just stuck with it. Yeah. And I've never looked back.
Do you feel like it's improved your life?
I think it has. Yeah. I used to get tired at work a lot more. That was the main thing. It's like, it would get to that same 3 o'clock hour that you're talking about, like little Debbie o'clock. And maybe what I was even doing was going and getting a snack, which would then make me drowsy. And then I would want to like just basically fall asleep on my keyboard.
Mm.
And so I think standing desk definitely keeps me much, much more awake.
Nice.
And so that's been a good one. And then so the other one, we got the soda stream in the office here, which I've just been doing like the bubbly drops to make it like lime flavored
water,
carbonated water. And I must go through I don't know, like 2 liters of these things a day.
I have also been doing the soda stream thing, and we've got like some of like the soda syrups and whatever.
Yes.
And so I've been doing the like the diet cola one, and at first I was like, oh well, like I don't want to do like the soda ones because that's just like drinking soda then. But like, you look at like the nutrition, and I am like, I feel like there's some sort of like trickery at play or something.
Oh, do you?
Because like, this is just water, and then you just put the bubbles in it, and then you look at the back, or you look at the nutrition facts on like the like diet cola soda syrup or whatever, and it's just zeros all the way down, and it's like, well, there's gotta be something in there. Like, there must be something in there, because it's changing the flavor of the water and it's changing the color of the water. So like, what's it like? I feel like there's no way this isn't like, I'm like, there's no way this like just isn't bad for me. There's got to be something bad about this.
It does. Yeah. I understand that. I mean,
but it says zero. So I'm like, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm winning and I found like a super hack here.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as it's working, that's all that matters.
Well, it's like, I don't know if it's working. I'm drinking a lot of it. But is it bad for me?
Am I doing a health food?
Exactly. Yeah. Am I doing a health or not?
Okay.
I don't know.
Here's my question for
you. I don't want to be unhealthy.
Why is it the case? Because this seems so counterintuitive to the entire human experience dating back for millennium.
Yeah.
Why on earth is it the case that some of the most popular beverages on the planet Earth are like brown water?
Oh, I know. It is weird. If someone pours you a Coke, it's like, wow, that looks tasty. But if someone just, if I didn't see them pour it, if I didn't know what it was, if someone just handed me a glass of Coke colored liquid and was like, enjoy, I'd be like, oh yeah, right. Are you kidding?
I don't think so.
Pass.
What is this,
brown water?
Right. It's like, this seems like the most fundamental thing that we would have learned going back to like, you know, cave people days would be like, clear moving water good, brown murky water bad.
Right.
You know, but it's like, but for some reason, and that's the other thing too, it's like, I don't know if maybe it's like the bubbles that help, but like, you know, when they show like the, like before the movie theater starts or whatever, and they show like that, like, you know, Coke or Pepsi ad or whatever, where it's like making all the ice fizzy noise and stuff like that. It's like, they even like, well, like, you know, pour a glass and you see all the bubbles popping up, and I'm like, they really do make it look so tasty, you know?
Yes, they do.
But it's dark liquid colored beverage.
I know. It doesn't make sense to me either.
Yeah. Like, but then what's also strange to me is that, like, if you were to give me a Coke and somebody were to say, like, this is a Coke, we removed what makes it, like, dark colored, and it is now just completely
right, it's
clear.
Just clear.
Clear. Like if you, like, imagine Sprite, except it would taste like Coke, I would find that to be completely off-putting.
I know. I'd be like, no thanks.
It's like, I am completely uninterested.
There's the whole, the color, the flavor, the fizz, it is all so aligned in my brain.
Yes, I know. And like, I can't tell though that if you were to go to like an alien planet or something and they did the exact same thing, but Coke was like neon green, you know,
yeah.
like, and that was just their normal for exactly the same product, but it's just what they've always known and how they've always like imagined it and associated these like specific flavors. Right. But then I'm trying to think of like something
but
else.
Like we have like neon green sodas.
We do have, that's true. Yeah. But like the Coke flavor, the Pepsi flavor, like the cola flavor feels brown. Yeah. It feels brown.
It
feels rooted in
it's the right color.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't seem like it should. What do you think? Is this unhealthy in some way?
Do I think when you're drinking something healthy in some way?
The Diet Cola soda syrup in the fizzy in the soda stream.
Well, so one, I haven't had it at all. Haven't tried it, nor have I looked at the container. I suspect that it's pretty good. But this is another one of those things where I feel like there was a period of time where there was like Coke Diesel, like the standard, like regular Coke.
Yeah, regular Coca-Cola, red can.
And then there's like Diet Coke, which are sort of like, okay, that must be healthier, right? And then there's Coke Zero.
The superior
and it's like,
product.
And it's like, okay, which of those three is the most healthy?
Right.
Because it's like it feels like a little bit like none of them is the answer.
I know, right. It seems like you just shouldn't drink any of them. Probably.
Maybe. I think. I don't know.
I don't know.
That was like when Coke Zero came out. I was like, hold up, but wait. Why would not just apply whatever logic you did to Coke Zero to Diet Coke? Or is it the fact that like you're doing it slightly differently, achieving like a new end product, and people, there's already such a substantial following around Diet Coke that like you can't get rid of that one.
Well, like one of them's like zero calorie and one of them's like zero sugar.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe there's like some dietary like applications there.
Yeah.
I think
Coke Zero tastes more like regular Coke.
Okay. I've never had a Coke Zero before.
Yeah. Really?
Not one.
Man, well, you're missing out. I don't drink standard Coke almost ever because Coke Zero just exists.
And
I don't, not that I drink that too often either, but we normally have a box of Diet Coke and a box of Coke Zero at my house at all times because Beth's mom likes Coke Zero and our mom likes Diet Coke. And whenever they're babysitting, we like to have whatever they want on hand.
No, I know. Yeah. We do the same thing. Yep. Yeah. It's like, you got to make sure that like when the grandma, Addie has started referring to our mom by our mom's first name, Mary.
No.
Amazing. So it is really funny. Yeah, she'll say Mary and Papa John, which is what our dad goes by, which I find to be hilarious. Maybe she'll eventually include the Nana there in the front of it.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, but either which way. No, so we do the same thing. We got them stocked in the house. I don't know. I feel like your beverage that you're drinking right now, I assume is maybe not as unhealthy as any of the products we just described.
What, healthier than Diet Coke or Coke Zero?
Yes, I think healthier than those. But then I just have like the droplets that just make like it like a hint of lime flavor in my otherwise carbonated water, which I would assume is maybe mildly healthier than that. I don't know what the syrup I'm using is though.
I don't know either.
This is like one of those things where that was the other thing too, is that it seemed like there was Coke and then Diet Coke. And then it was kind of like, okay, like Diet Coke is an improvement over like regular Coke from like a health standpoint. And then it seemed like there was a whole phase there where it was like, no, pretty much the sugars we use in Diet Coke are like their own kind of like
their own kind of problem,
their own kind of problem. But then it also seemed like maybe that got like recanted, but then I don't know. That's like where like all my conspiracy theories come into play. And I'm just sort of like, I have no idea who's got it right here.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I know. Cause like part of me is like, I'm enjoying this and it like tastes, in my brain right now, it's like, oh yeah, I made it myself. I mixed it all together. I poured the water and added the thing. And it's like the reason I don't drink like soda and stuff, cause like, I feel like it's bad for me. But then I'm like, I'm making this and I'm like, well, it tastes exactly like what I miss about soda. But like, is it, but it, and this is maybe not bad for me. Cause then like, if that's true, then it's just a giant win-win, but it feels too good to be true. And if like it feels too good to be true, it probably is.
It probably is.
And like, there's no way I'm just winning here because everyone would just do this, right?
So here's the grand philosophical question that I always come back to, which would be like, you know, is like you think about like eras in history or like the Wild Wild West, where it was sort of like, yeah, you know, like things were just happening, but like the Wild Wild West usually generally refers to like there were not a lot of regulations. It was just sort of like, go out there.
Yeah.
You know, like there wasn't like a lot of like oversight. It was too much land to cover. So it's like stuff could just go down.
Yeah.
And I often wonder if you were to like fast forward 200 years from now and see what the world is like then, because like what we are, I tend to think that like if you imagine like a teeter totter, I feel like in terms of technological advancement and availability of products in like a global scale, mm-hmm. we're really only like in the first 100 years of that being a thing.
Sure.
Like hard stop.
Yeah.
You know, like for the most part, everything that is available to us is all fairly new.
Yeah.
So the question would be, you know, over 200 years of time, like I would almost make the argument that 200 years from now, things will just be more heavily regulated than they currently are now. And what will be interesting is then if they look back on now and what they like, what stands out as like, yeah, this was just allowed back then.
Yeah.
You know, like people just did it.
People just do it. Yeah. It was like, you know, like people would just mix soda syrups at the office and it was like a totally normal, regular thing. You could just bring it home and people would do it and they didn't understand why they were getting cancer. And you're like, oh boy, whoa, what? Yeah.
the wild, wild 2000s.
The wild, wild 2000s, man. They didn't know what was going on back then. That's probably not true. I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just spitballing future things.
Right. 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 Just trying to take a stab at a headline or something.
Yeah.
Or a textbook header. Yeah, there you go.
They'll have books in the future, as if.
But maybe they will. Maybe they'll be like, you know, this is the stage where they thought we didn't need them. So when you enter my home, I have like one of those like touch key locks, so I don't have to carry like a key to my house. It's just like a digital deadbolt.
Yeah.
And this is one of those instances where I feel like there was an era of time where everybody thought touchscreen everything was better than analog anything because it was like, it was new, it was shiny, it was like, you know, it had like the perfect like gloss surface or whatever. And this is also true for like volume control inside of your vehicle. Like analog volume control always superior to a touch screen volume control.
Yes.
Or even the same for like your heating and cooling in your vehicle. It's always better to have knobs, like, because you can turn them exactly where you want it, and like otherwise you're kind of like staring at the screen and there's like no physical like thing to work off of. But so what drives me nuts is I bought into the touchscreen deadbolt lock for my house, and it's like one of those where like within 3 weeks of having it, I was like, an analog one is simply better.
Yeah.
Because when I get home, the way the sun is positioned in the sky is it is like blaring onto the deadbolt on my back door.
Okay.
Which means it's like heat sensitive. And so if the sun is just like hammering it, then it's so hot that it can't detect my finger pushes.
Right. Oh, and no.
And then, you know, it's like I'm looking at it and then it's also got like a massive glare over it. So I can't even like quite see the numbers or like which one I'm pushing or anything. And so it's like ever since I've had it, I'm like, this is less good. Sometimes I'm like, okay, this is an area where it was like, oh, just because we had an like advancement doesn't mean the application was always better than what we were doing before.
Right. Like we already had it figured out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was going fine.
Right.
It was going
like,
fine.
The key and lock can't not work.
Yes. Yeah, that's the other thing too, is like I once got locked out of my house because my deadbolt battery died.
Right.
And so then it was like one of these weird things where I was like, I don't have a key.
Right.
You know? And like, I ended up like looking out that like one of my screened in porch doors just happened to be unlocked.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was able to like go in through my screened in porch and get into my house. But otherwise, I mean, it was like, I was going to have to like have like a locksmith come out.
Oh my gosh. That'd be so embarrassing.
I know. It was like, I'm stuck in my house. So now every time it's like low battery, I'm like, I'm on it. I hear you.
Listen, I got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny.
Transition.
Sure.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one.
In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn culture is supported by Arena Club.
Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Okay, Jay, here's a question.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, did you have a thought?
No, go for it.
Do you believe in signs from the universe?
Oh, goodness. Goodness. That's either very deep or very wide question. I don't know.
I think you can slice it however you like.
I know. So this is like, it is interesting. Okay, so like in the recent past, I was like almost convinced I was getting signs like this, because like, or like from the universe or God or whatever.
So like something was trying to speak to
like
you.
Like, because it just seemed like it suddenly came out of like almost nowhere. And like, it was in, when Beth and I when Beth was pregnant with the twins, like, we had come up with, you know, like, boy names and girl names. And so, like, you know, we already, you know, Luke. Luke was a boy. And we were like, oh, man, it'd be so, like, we have, like, two chances to get a girl here, you know? Like, we'll have a boy and girl.
Right.
And then, obviously, we just have three boys, and they're all amazing. Hooray. But so we never get to use, like, our girl names or anything.
Right.
But so, like, just, like, out of the blue one day, like, it just seemed like, I think we went, it was related. It started when we were at church in the morning.
Okay.
And the particular, whatever passage they were going over was about how the woman in the Bible, Elizabeth, which is Beth's full name.
Okay.
Just like ended up having a child like later in life or something. And it was like, oh, whoa, what do you know? The great, cool. See ya.
Right.
Right. But so that was the start of my day. And then like, later that day, we're at the grocery store and like Luke wants to pick out a balloon. He's like, I want that one. I want that, like that pink one up there. And I like picked it down and it said like, congratulations, it's a girl. And it was like, well, that isn't that funny? Ha ha. You know?
Right. Right.
But then,
right.
Like then we were like watching a show that night and like the main character like had the same name as one of the girls we'd picked out. And I was like, man, this is like a bunch of like, this is like we, you know,
it's like, and, like, yeah. Like, what is going on? Yeah.
And then like the, you know, I think even like I went down and like, I pointed that all out to Beth and then like we went upstairs and we turned on the TV and we put on like a different show. And it was like some music came on. She was like, this is cool music. And it was like music composed by your girl's name. And it was like, what the heck is going on?
That's
like,
nuts.
It was like all of this stuff happening on the same day. I was like, are we like supposed to like have a girl or something? Like, are we supposed to be having another baby? Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Oh, and then like Beth went to church like the next day. And like for the first time ever, like Luke and Nick and Nate like went with her. She went like that later that night.
Okay,
like, she does like youth group stuff at night. And so like Luke and Nick and Nate all went with her. And like I dropped her off and like went and got dinner. And then like I came to pick them up later. And so I went inside and like Nick and Nate and Luke are playing air hockey on one of the tables in the church with this like with this little girl who has like, you know, pale skin and hyper blonde hair.
Okay.
And they like, you know, that's like, it's the same name. And it's like, what, like,
no way.
It was so weird. I don't know what's going on. I don't like what this is like, you know, and it's like happening at church, you know, like, and you're like, it's like, am I being spoken to by God right now? Like what is like, you know, like, is it just a bunch of coincidences or like, am I supposed to do something with this information or like, what's like, seriously? And then like, even the next morning I was going to the gym and I was just like, I don't like, that was so weird yesterday. Like, I don't know. Like, I remember thinking like, you know what, like if something else happens, maybe it's like, I don't know. Could have just been a bunch of coincidences. And I'm like, sort of like almost like praying in the car, like, you know, like if there was something else, just like, just, you know, what would it be or whatever? Because I don't even know.
Right.
You know, I'm like, I like finish that thought, get out of my car and like start walking towards the door. And our trainer gets out of the car and he has two little kids and his little girl just runs up and hugs me. And she has never done it before, ever.
Oh,
and
my, like,
I've seen her for years, you know?
Yes.
Like, and I was just like, I don't know what's going on right now.
It feels like something.
I'm like, what is happening? This is so unusual. So then I was just like, I don't know what's supposed to be going on.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there was a part of me, like, as you were going through this, I was like, are you about to elemental surprise me right now?
No, I am not about to elemental surprise you.
Hold up.
I am not about to elemental surprise you right now. Yeah, no, we're not expecting or anything that. But it was just, like, very weird. I remember I was going to therapy, and I was, like, even talking to my therapist about this. Like, I don't know what's happening or if I'm just, like, having a bunch of coincidences. This wasn't even on my mind. Like, I wasn't, like, I am good with three. I haven't slept in 6 years, you know.
right,
you know, we're pretty ready to be done. And then what, she flipped it around on me and she was like, okay, so like if you were hoping for, like, if you were like hoping for it, like if you said, you know, give me a sign, what would have to happen for you to like think, yes, that was a sign? And I was like, that's a great question. Like, and I like, I feel like I've been able to apply that to a bunch of other things. Like, I'm so like, you know, like, oh, I'm so afraid of failing. And it'll be like, you know, but like, okay, but like, what would succeeding look like? And you're like, well, that's a good question too.
It's a really good point. Yeah, because I do think so often, like, you can find yourself in this situation where it's like you're wanting something like greater out of whatever you're after or whatever, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just not doing enough. And then like, you know, you flip it and it's like, well, what does it look like to be doing enough? Because then like that could even give you a finish line, like,
exactly,
a goal, like a exactly. specific thing.
Yeah. So it's like that just did make me think. I was just like, I don't know. It's like if you prayed for a sign and then you got one, like, what would it take for that, for you to think that was real, for that was a sign and not just like you like manifesting it or like wanting to see something? Or is it the same thing?
Right. You know? Right. No, I understand. No, it's very interesting. And so that's the thing too, that I think is really interesting about it, because like, I feel like there's a possibility that looking for signs in the world can almost be like your brain's own version of like horoscopes a little bit.
And yeah.
Like this is sort of like the question, the curiosity to me, because I think sometimes it's like I think for most of my life struggled to know like exactly what it was that like I wanted out of like my life experience.
Yeah.
You know, so like a lot of times it's really helpful for me to be around somebody who has like extremely clear, extremely concise goals. And it's probably like part of even like the, you know, the people pleaser thing a little bit, where it's like, I don't really know what I want to do. So if you can tell me very clearly what you want to do, then like I know how to mold myself to that particular thing.
Right.
But that's where I think sometimes, like, if you feel like you're seeing signs, it's almost like when you read a horoscope, almost anybody could read any horoscope. And usually what is happening inside of these is that they're written cleverly enough that almost everything is vague and highly applicable
right.
to any person. So as you're going through it, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, you're going to experience like a major life change in like soon. It's sort of like, you could apply major life change to lots of different stuff.
Right.
You
yes.
know, it's like it doesn't necessarily like you could probably find the shoe that fits whatever it's telling you is the thing that's like upcoming on the horizon or whatever.
Yeah.
But then, so like what I'm curious about, like when you're looking for signs out there in the world, or if you're even like asking the universe to give you a sign to be like, hey, let me know. It's like, is it ever the case that all of a sudden you're much more like dialed in and looking for things that might fit
right
what you're asking
exactly.
it to do?
Right.
Yeah. And so then that becomes like the curiosity, where it's almost like, well, you know, now all of a sudden, like, I could probably not even to say that you'd be like would spin it necessarily, but it's like if like our trainer's daughter had just come up and hugged you any other day, would that have just been like no, that was cute.
Right. You know, like, I know. Yeah.
You know, like you wouldn't have thought of that like as like, wait a second, she hugged me. I like, maybe that means something. You know, it's like,
right.
it's like, because you have this like specific set of like lenses on, it's almost like you're interpreting it in some new capacity.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's the question.
Yeah.
That's the question.
That's the question.
Are you interpreting it, or is it happening?
Or is that the sign?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
That's what it seems like. How are you supposed to know that? Yes, this is that. Or is it just like, no, I mean, yeah, or is it like, yeah, you've started looking for it and now it's just sort of like you're seeing signs everywhere.
Right.
Sort of thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is.
I know. No.
It's like, of course, it's like, yeah, this is what people have been trying to figure out forever.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the thing too, is that like I had like a similar situation where I was like driving home the other day, and like it was just really weird, because I like got in my car and there was like, you know, like a deer that had been like struck that was like in the road, which was just like really sad. But it was like its placement was like so central and specific to like where I was going, and it was just sort of like, huh, like that's like, you know, like a very remarkable specific detour type thing. And then like as I kept going down the street, I ran at, like, I got this like, you know, three-way intersection where there was like a cop that had like stopped in the middle of the road to go and like help somebody whose like vehicle had like stalled out or whatever.
Yeah.
And because like the cop stopped in this particular part, instead of going my usual way home, I had to take this like big long detour around like through this like crazy labyrinth of like neighborhoods, because it was like such a spot where it's like there's no other main road I could just like deviate off into, or even just get around him otherwise. And I'm like, is anything like trying to prevent me from getting where I'm going right now? And then like, you know, so like as I'm thinking that, like I turn the corner to like get on my road, and like all of a sudden there's just like this other weird backup that's going on for like another like 5 minutes. And I'm like, man, this is so like, what is going on? Like, like on this drive home, I have run into like five different things, all of which have like really slowed my process. And right. I'm like, is something attempting to like tell me where to go or like turn left or something? Like, you know, and it's and this was weird. And I think maybe the reason it stood out is because there wasn't anything specific that I could even think was trying to like be communicated to me. Like, I wasn't like asking the world for a sign, but like as I'm going through this journey, I'm like, it feels like a lot of really weird chance things are all happening
in a row.
Yeah. And all of which are like slowing me down specifically. Yeah. Like that's the end result of all of them. So anyway, that's what I just thought it was kind of interesting because I've gone through life definitely before where there have been instances like where like I will like basically say, you know, if this thing happens, then that must be my sign to do this instead. And then sometimes the thing will happen and then I will second guess it because I'm like, well, I didn't expect it to actually like happen.
I know, like, right. Like you're almost giving yourself an out. And yes, then it was like, oh, wait.
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now, oh, well, okay. Well, that unusual thing did come to pass. So it's like, this is where like, I always imagine like the grand puppeteer in the cosmos or whatever that like, you know, if there's somebody who's like specifically looking down on your life and attempting to send you these message, like I always think of the movie like Interstellar. Have you seen that one?
No.
Oh, you haven't seen Interstellar?
No.
Shoot, dang.
No.
I don't even want to say too much. I don't want to give it away. But, anyway, the idea would sort of be like, you know, if there ever was that instance where like, little clues were being left for you and you don't listen to them, how absolutely infuriating it must be to the person who's like the grand cosmic puppeteer.
I'm, yeah.
Because they're like, come on, I sent you a whole row.
Right.
Like, look at them. Like, how did you not? Oh.
I know. Right. It's just like, you're just, it's like at some point, it's like, it makes you feel like, am I just being like, really ignorant, like intentionally ignorant or something in the moment.
Right.
Like, you know, you would hate to like get to the afterlife and they're like, well, we gave you all sorts of signs to have a fourth child. And like, you just like steamrolled right past them. Like you were all over it, man. And like, you saw them, you even understood them.
we have a podcast recording of you recounting these things. Talked
about it. Like, well, I don't know what to tell you.
It's like, hindsight is 20/20.
She was pretty important, but yeah.
Goodness gracious. Look at this. They're like flipping the clipboard.
So much
over.
Paperwork.
Like,
I can't even. Yeah. Anyway, well, you missed out. Like, oh, man.
But
I know. And then it's like, yeah, I know. It's like, even now we're talking about it. I'm like, oh gosh.
Oh man.
Oh boy. Like, people, I'm going to get comments from people now and they're going to be like, Jay, are you kidding me, bro? Like, what are you doing? Yeah.
Kidding.
What?
Are you kidding you?
No, oh yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I feel like I'm going to get a call from Beth tonight and she's gonna be like, what did you guys talk about on the pop? I don't know.
I've reviewed all these things with Beth as well.
Yeah, there you go. Okay
there. I mean, I could keep going.
She's not in the dark.
No, she's not. I yes, told her the ways in which I felt like possibly God was communicating with me. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have I not even asked you myself sometime in the past like month and a half whether or not this was like something you would consider?
I don't know. You might have.
Okay. As you started telling it, I was like, I'm pretty sure I've asked you very recently if this is something that would ever be in the cards.
Yeah. At the moment, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good heart stop. Sounds good. Well, you got one last transition left in you?
Sure. Ben, I've had this on here for a couple of weeks here, and it's a much lighter topic, so we'll just transition away from the meaning of the universe and
whether or not
deities are speaking directly to us. Then it's also just like the audacity to think that I'm important enough to be spoken to by like such a power, but then it's also like, no, that's the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to have a relationship with that being, and it's like, oh, maybe
that?
This is what it's like. I don't know! Anyway, we're not talking about that. I'm going to talk about something way, way, way less important, but also possibly more important to you guys' daily existence. Okay.
All right. Late on.
All right.
Late on.
All right. It is the question of pancakes versus waffles.
What?
I know.
Oh my gosh. My brain literally just went through both sides and was like, well, it's obviously.
Exactly. It's a very difficult question to answer.
It is a very difficult question to answer. Like, okay, do you have an answer to it?
I think I'm more I'm a waffle person.
Okay.
I prefer waffles to pancakes.
You still seem like there was a mild hesitation.
Well,
in your
I make pancakes a lot for the kiddos, but we did just recently get some like Mickey Mouse waffle maker things.
Mom got them for us all for Christmas.
I sure do enjoy that. Waffles are more work, is the thing. I think a little. They're not even.
I was gonna say it's really not that.
It's really not that much more. Yeah. No, it's not. So you know what? Waffles is my answer. Waffles. I enjoy them more. But here's the thing.
Okay.
I feel like whenever it comes up, like you'd be like, "Do you like pancakes or waffles?" There's always someone in the room is like, "I'm really more into French toast," and I'm always like, "Okay, okay." This is where my beef comes in. Okay.
Oh no, J beef inbound.
This is where my beef goes. If you're debating the merits between pancakes and waffles, which is basically a shapes argument.
Yeah,
at the end of the day.
Okay. Essentially,
it's more or less the same thing.
You could make waffles from pancake batter, probably.
Yeah. You absolutely can.
Untested scientifically, but most likely.
Did it last weekend.
Okay, in fact, tested, confirmed.
Normally, at least the difference is normally that like waffles have like a little bit more oil in them so they can get a little bit crispier.
Okay.
That's basically the main difference. So you could do either with each, you know?
We don't want crispy pancakes.
Yeah, maybe some people do. Maybe that's how you enjoy it. The point is, when you're debating this, it's a fun thing to debate because there's no right or wrong answer.
Sure.
Right? Like some people just like pancakes. Some people like waffles. They're mostly the same thing. It's fine. But I cannot stand it when people are like, "I prefer French toast." And I'm like, "We're not talking about French toast."
Wait a second.
First of all, like, of course you prefer French toast. That's a whole different food. They're not in the same category, Ben.
So
I don't think you're not like pancakes to waffles, you're comparing apples to different shaped apples. And suddenly you've brought in oranges and someone's like, "It's the same. It's the same. I prefer French toast." And I'm like, "It's not the same. It's not." No, it's a way more decadent, indulgent dish with syrup and fruit and compotes. And like, it's not this. It is. Of course you prefer French toast. Are you kidding? Everyone prefers French toast.
So you are in agreement that like, it's like, this is like, you have just damaged the argument entirely.
Yes.
As it stood, because once you bring French toast in the conversation, it's like, well, then the conversation's over.
It's
like everybody agrees French toast is better.
Yes.
Okay.
So
at that point in time, the real question is that like, why is there ever pancakes or waffles on any menu ever when you could always just have French toast?
Because French toast is more indulgent. It's worse for you.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know. I think when you're at a restaurant and you're ordering French toast, it's never just like, you know, basic French toast. It's normally pretty done up French toast.
It's like loaded.
It's like loaded. Yeah,
like
exactly.
Extra turbo.
Exactly. French toast is like an extra turbo brunch item.
Do you feel as though it's the powdered sugar that tends to set the French toast off? Because you could also put like chocolate chips inside of pancakes or waffles.
You could do it,
which ups their decadent factor.
I mean, you can make the other ones more decadent, but the other ones like on their own don't require decadence. They're just like they are great at being what they are, like just like by themselves.
There's
no bad pancakes, you know. Like you can have amazing pancakes, but even if you just put together like, if you just throw together like the Bisquick pancake mix, you're going to have a good time.
Right. No, I understand where you're coming from. Here's a curiosity or a question that I have, because I think that this is like one of those things where it's like, when it comes to good food, sometimes I wonder, and this is going to be a hot take, but a hot cake, if you will. But like, sometimes I wonder whether or not we can enjoy foods on a scale of 1 to 5. And it's like, and that's it. And a lot more foods are 5 than we're willing to give it credit for overall, which is to say that like, when you go to like a super nice dinner and you order like the absurdly expensive like filet mignon, mm-hmm. and they come out and like there's cracked peppercorns on top of it, or like a sauce, or like the perfectly whipped mashed potatoes and green beans. It's like there's a certain amount like going into your mental state that is providing you with like the additional attention, the focus on the meal that you are having.
Right. Like the atmosphere is directing your enjoyment as much as the meat itself.
Exactly. So it's like you're aware of the added cost. You're aware of like the cachet of the restaurant around you, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, there's a fancy waiter. Like there was a water menu here and we got to pick a fancy water, you know, to be poured for the table. It's like, it's not just like tap ice water. It's like, do you want like this bottled water from the ground roots of
Right, Yggdrasil? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we're not supposed to take it, but for you, you can have it for $8.
I know the restaurant you're talking about, and the water was more than $8.
Yeah, it was good water too, though. But was it only good because I was paying attention to it? Because sometimes, yeah,
I think probably.
But this is the question, though. So it's like, in my mind, I'm like when you go to these restaurants, is there some part of what you're experiencing that you're enjoying is like is everything else? But the food, it's like food is capped at $5, and it's not that I'm trying to say that $5 is like an alarmingly high bar to ever accomplish. It's like what I'm actually saying is like you like a flaming hot Cheeto is a $5,
right?
But like but you bought a whole bag of them, you know, there's like right. 173 of them in there,
right?
You know, you got plenty to
you eat. Got plenty of fives, man.
So yeah, it's like, and it cost you $1.99 at the convenience store, and you're on a road trip.
I know what you mean. Like there are, yes, like there are times when you're eating like gas station snack food and it is like the best thing you've ever had.
Oh my goodness, my you gracious. A taco and cheese taquito from 7-Eleven.
We've all enjoyed the best meal of our lives in the parking lot of a 7-Eleven at least once.
Yes. Okay? Yes, yeah. Exactly. It's like food perfected. It's like right. why are there Michelin star restaurants when there are taquitos?
I know. But then there's also like really like you've also been to like a very fancy place with a steak and you're like, this is like the best thing I've ever consumed.
It is. I know it is. And I mean, it's like, there's no doubt about it. And it's not, it's like, I can't even say that, like, I don't genuinely enjoy that experience, like, of being there and, like, doing that thing. Like when we went to Vegas earlier, or back at the tail end of last year for the music festival, we went to, like, one of these restaurants that, like, brother-in-law Mike found because he's, like, a food nut. And he was like, you know, let's go find, like, real good food. And so the place we went, I can't remember if they had a Michelin star or if they were, like, trying to get their first Michelin star, but it was that kind of a restaurant where they would, like, bring you your dish and it would come in, like, a small stone votive-shaped cup and it was, like, aerosol, you know, whipped raisins and asparagus or something. Why did I say raisins? I don't know where that came from. It wasn't raisins. It was anything else. But you know, it's like
they didn't have whipped aerosol raisins.
They didn't have, I mean, maybe they did. Who knows? But like, the point is that like the what they are doing, like you know, from a scientific perspective, mechanically with the food is remarkable. Like they have taken a food and they have turned it into a different kind of food completely. And it's like it's a joyous experience. But like part of the joy is just that it's so neat.
Yeah.
You know, but like it's not like, you know, maybe this is also part of it, but like I wouldn't eat like that one spoonful's worth of food and then be like, man, I wish I had like 97 more spoonfuls of that.
Right.
It's like maybe part of the point is that you can eat one spoonful and you're like satiated. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, that was delicious.
Right.
That bite was all I needed.
Right.
I would never buy this like a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Right.
You know, who would do
if
that?
If you were just in the back of the kitchen and they had like 50 of them laid out, would you just go to town?
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah. Like given the opportunity, would you? Because I like for most of the dishes, as much as I enjoyed them, I don't think I would.
Right.
And so like part of what my argument would be to take it back to like waffles and pancakes is that there's a very real possibility in French toast. There's really a possibility they're all fives. You know, it's like, there are certain days of the week where it's like a chocolate chip pancake is exactly what I want. And there's other days where it's like, there's nothing better than Mickey shaped waffle.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but then, yeah, you get these like a Nutella filled French toast covered in syrup and powdered
whipped
sugar.
Cream and powdered sugar.
It's
and,
like, yeah. well, gosh darn, is it dessert or breakfast?
Exactly. Exactly. It's a whole meal.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You know, packed complete with like 1400 calories.
Yeah. You don't need to eat again after you had the French toast.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so anyway, that's been my big curiosity lately is that like, cause I do think sometimes even when I'm like in the fancy restaurant or whatever, and I'm like enjoying the heck out of the meal, it's like, this is really, really good. But there are still 7-Eleven taquitos that exist out in the world.
They're still out there. Me and Beth watch Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link.
Yeah.
Like you've heard of them.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
They're like internet famous.
Yeah. They are.
Yeah.
They are very good at what they do. Anyway, they have a recurring like show called like Frozen Fancy Feast.
Okay.
And what they will do is they will get like the frozen food version of an item. They will get like the McDonald's, and then for the same item, the same like item, yeah, they'll get like the, you know, the McDonald's version of it, and then like the Olive Garden version of it, and then like a like high-end Michelin star version of it.
Okay.
So the, you know, you might have like this frozen burger came from the, yeah, the frozen food aisle, and this is from McDonald's, and this is, you know, all okay. the way up.
I'm following.
Yeah, you got it. So yep. yeah, all the different price points, but and then they'll sample them all and say which one they like the most, but they don't know as they're doing it which one came from where.
Okay.
And like, obviously in that example, it'd probably be pretty easy to tell just on sight.
Sure.
But
yes,
like,
yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of the and a lot of the time it's like, sometimes it's pretty obvious what the frozen one is. Sometimes it's not, but like they'll go through and it's like, it is very interesting to like see them try the same dish at four very different price points and how like the gourmetness of it affects or doesn't affect it.
Okay.
Like sometimes it'll be so clear cut, like the fancy one is just like leagues better. But the other times it'll be like, yeah, the McDonald's version is just amazing. Like this food is best enjoyed as fast food, and you can make fancy versions of it, but like this is just the best way to do it.
Yeah. Right. You know? Right. Yes. Like,
yeah.
No. And yeah. So then it's like, well, yeah. Like why go more elaborate? And,
right.
And that is like one of those things, like, you know, you meet, so similarly at our water restaurant where we had our $8, or more expensive Norse, you know, carbonated, whatever.
Yeah. I believe the water we got was from 1,000 feet underground.
Okay, there it is.
I want to say is what we decided what we to try.
We were all just so flummoxed by the fact that there was a water menu that it was just sort of like, we got to do
we
it,
gotta
right?
We got to try you know? It. Yeah. Yeah, like a water menu?
Right,
this
yeah.
Is, I've never even seen this.
No, it threw us off. But so then the other thing that happened at this particular restaurant was a sommelier came to the table to like explain to us like which you know, wine would pair best with each of our respective entrees or whatever. And like sommeliers, as someone who exists out in the world, are extremely interesting to me when it comes to this particular question, because they are on some level proof that people are capable of tasting things and like almost getting like, I think of like stats on the back of like a baseball card,
yeah.
if you will. And it would almost be like, if you could look at the front of the baseball card and know all the information on the back of the card, just by looking at the front of the card, like it feels like that's what sommeliers do. Like mm-hmm. they can take like with nothing else, you know, a sip of wine, and they can be like, yes. Okay. This comes from the, you know, the foothills of Southern France. And they're probably, you know, like this kind of grape grown in this particular season and harvested just before ripeness or whatever. And it's like, you got all that from that sip? Like, it's like, I don't know it well enough to appreciate it on that level.
Right, yeah,
like,
no.
Like, I can't even name 5 towns in France.
Yeah.
You know, let alone which one my grapes came from or what season they were harvested during.
Yeah.
So it's like if in fact there is some accuracy to that particular ability, it's like, okay, that makes me think that there have been instances like where I've gone to a restaurant and tasted something that was truly remarkable. But then the other issue is that like maybe that's like where food goes from like a 1 to a 5, but then you have to unlock like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
You know, and like 10 is your master sommelier, like where they can like do this type of thing. But like,
yeah, I do. I mean, you were kind of talking about like the setting and stuff earlier, and I do think that all is very important sometimes to like the kind of food you're even able to enjoy sometimes.
Yes.
Like, for example, tomorrow night we're all going to like the local professional hockey team.
Yes.
Here.
Yep.
The Rail Yard Dogs.
The Dogs.
Yeah. And we were just talking earlier out with the whole crew that like, oh my gosh, the chicken tenders are so good. And it's like, I do. I'm thinking about them right now. I'm going to get them tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. They,
like,
without doubt.
The chicken tenders at the Dogs games are amazing and they're so good. But it's like, would I order those same chicken tenders like at a restaurant? No. But in the same way, like I would never go get like, you know, if they were even if they were serving like gourmet fancy steak at a hockey game, like I could never.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right, like, right. It's like, no, like this is not the. No. What am I gonna like cut it like on a paper plate like on my knees yeah. while I'm watching the game? You know, it's.
I
like,
mean,
like,
even if we had like, you know, which to be clear, the Dogs don't have like box seats, but imagining they had like indoor box seats and you could watch it behind glass and someone could bring you the steak and you could sit there and watch it. It's just like, this is not. It's like, I don't feel like it would be as good. Like when you're at a hockey game, you're not eating steak. You're not eating a fancy meal. It's not best enjoyed that way.
No, it's not. You know, you're right.
I want dumb concession food, and I want to drink like a, you know, moderately cheap beer, and I want to like yell at hockey people, and it's going to be fun.
Like, I totally know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
No. I go to up to two games a year.
Right. Exactly. So that's, but that's, to me, it's a fascinating part of the underlying question, is that like, if the environment is impacting you so much, like there's obviously added skill that's going on in the preparation. Like no part of me is doubting that, like, you know, when you go and get like a steak from like a fancy restaurant and like all the accoutrement or whatever, like, you know, like there's no doubt that it is in fact prepared by someone who has more experience preparing it at this caliber.
Right.
Like that is the aspect of it that I would absolutely not doubt. The question is just like whether or not like it's like, I think where I get like in like where I go to war inside of my own head is like, it, like, I love doing this. I know that this is like a way that I enjoy spending time like with my friends and going and doing something. Mm-hmm. Like, I seek it out for sure. But it's also like, is it that good? Or like, can it beat the taquito? Is this bite of food as good as a bite of a taquito?
I think you really have to like, you do have to like play the location a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like if you go back, like going back to the fancy frozen feast game or whatever, sometimes it's like, it is no surprise to me sometimes that certain objects are better at the lower price point, at the lower price points. Like when, like, I think they've done like tacos before, and it's like, yeah, no, like gourmet tacos are never going to beat street tacos. Like, they're just not.
Right.
Like, tacos are street food and they're the best there.
Right.
Like, this is, and like they always are. It's like, and like, it's like burgers are the same way. It's like, you can get a fancy burger and you can get fancy meat and whatever, but it's just like that that's not why you went to the gourmet restaurant though, was to get a burger. Like, they'll make it for you. That's right. Not why you went there.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, don't you go like, if you want a good burger, go to that bar down the street where you know they make the good burgers, where they smash them and do the grill thing. You know, we have a place across the street. It's called Jack Brown's here. It is like, so their burgers are insane.
They are.
They're so good.
And it's like, it's so strange to me too, because like when we moved to like our current office and I knew it was going to be like nearby, I was like, we're going to be able to do Jack Brown's. And I was like, this goes back to like the original conversation about like the Little Debbie snacks and like our lunches, where it's like, eventually you get used to them. And this is one of those things where it's like, we've been an obscene number of times.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, and I still love it. Like, there is never a day where
it's always a treat.
Yeah. There's never a day where someone's like, should we do Jack Brown's? And I'm like, I don't know if I'm feeling it. It's like, I'm always feeling it.
Well, the answer is like, I always want to. Some days I'm always like, sometimes I'm like, do I, I know that's not as good for me, but yeah, okay.
We got bananas in the office. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm drinking my diet Dr. Pete my soda stream.
Exactly. I've made enough good decisions today. Make it a double. Make it a double patty.
A double. Yeah. If you want my order, double cowboy with fries.
But seriously, if you come to Roanoke, go to Jack Brown's. It is like just the, all they serve is burgers, but, and it's just this little dive bar and it's awesome.
It is awesome. Yeah. It's worth it. Definitely check it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that'd be my question or curiosity for people today is like, what are your thoughts when it comes to how delicious a bite of food can actually be, and like, how much do you think, or do you have a special moment where you like knew you took like the best bite of your life, or like you know, because that's
can you go back to what you think is the best bite of food of your life?
Man, let me think. I feel, oh man, I don't know, my mind is racing through like so many different instances. There is a place that we went to in Austin, Texas, called Suerte, and
that place is good.
It is really good. But I feel like they had these, it's like a beef, it is like a beef taco of some kind, right? Was it a taco? Mm-hmm. And that is probably the best bite of food that I've ever
had.
That I can think of.
Okay.
Right off the top of my head. How about you?
It might have been in the last month
No way.
Yeah, just, and I think it was the dinner that mom made for my 36th birthday.
Oh, and she that just was
like,
so good.
And like, this is one of those things where it's like every, like, so our mom, I think we even talked about it already. She makes these ribs. And I've never been anywhere else where the ribs are even close.
No, I know. Like, you're
I'll get ribs at other places and they're not the same. And I don't know what, I don't know how she's doing it. It's like magic. But like, I'll like talk, like I'll, it's one of those things where like in between rib consumption, I will be like, they, I remember them fondly because my mom made them as we were growing up and like they were great, but like they must not be as good as I remember. They must not be. But like, man, we had them just earlier this month and I was like, these are not only as good as I remember, but better.
But better.
Like, I mean, I was literally smiling about that meal for like 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was that good. And I don't remember having food of that, like that food experience in like a very, very long time. So that is my current answer. And that's just my favorite food is that.
Is that mom's ribs?
Is that mom's ribs? I know that's probably just such a traditional answer. Yeah, mom's cooking.
But like, I know. Yeah,
I don't care. I don't care.
I stand by it.
You would too.
Yeah, we used to say growing up that she, like, when she retires, she needs to open up like Mary's Kitchen.
Yeah, and, yeah.
You know, I feel like it could be like
It could just be Mary's Rib Shack. You know, that's all.
Yes. Yeah. We should get her a food truck.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, ribs all the time. It'd be great. Oh man. Okay. I can feel this idea.
You know how I also knew it was not just me. Is that, I mean, I think Luke ate as many as me.
I know. You know? Yes, I know. And
I mean,
yes. And like Luke is like he's still small.
I mean, he's, you know, mostly ribs.
Yeah, he's mostly ribs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially after that meal.
Especially after that meal. You can see all of his, you know.
Oh man, that's so funny. That's so funny. But yeah, so be sure to email us your favorite bites, or if even just answer the question, do you think that there is such a thing as like just maxing out the quality of the bite that you're having, and then does the conversation just become like, how scarce does the bite become?
I think one of my favorite things to do with food is like trying to find like I know a bunch of dishes that I like and trying those dishes in different places and trying to find like the best version of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That is always really fun. Like when you can like dial in on like a specific something. I mean, I remember you used to actually do this with burgers here in Roanoke, and it would just be like pop from burger place to burger place to burger place. And it was just like, try all of them. And then it's like, okay, this place has the best one.
Yeah. 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 Well, Cena City Taproom, Blue Ridge Burger, super good here. Although, you know what? If you can get that, they put it on the menu. It used to be Burger of the Month thing. Yeah. They put it on the menu when they had it as the burger of the month. And when I had it at its best, it had fried onion petals on it and they switched it to onion ring for some reason. Like it, I mean, severe downgrade. So see if they'll sub it for you.
Did it go from a 5 to a 4 from a ungodly 6 to a 5?
I mean, it just, yeah, probably that.
Okay.
Just from an ungodly 6 to a 5.
Okay.
I mean, it's still insane. It's still good. That's another one of those things. I remember I think the last time we went, I was like, I'm doing it. I'm getting the Blue Ridge Burger.
There you
and
go.
I got it and I was like, oh my God, this is so good.
Way to go, me.
Way to go, me. Like, I'll make a decision and then I'll just doubt myself forever. And then I'll try it again and be like, should have just trusted my instincts.
Way to go. I had it right.
I had it right.
Anyway, all feedback to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, we would very much appreciate it. You can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. There's just a variety of different fun and cool options over there. One of the things that we do is a like bi-monthly pop Q&A, which basically starts at the $5 tier or above. And it's just like a fun time to come in. And it's kind of like its own little private episode of the pop, but like you guys are live on stream at the same time. And then we've got like preloaded questions. So it's really just a hooting and hollering good time. So if you want to check it out, patreon.com/popcornculture, link in all the show notes and all the various places. But otherwise, until next time,
pop, pop.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.